Next will be under old business, and first case will be 11,086.
This one was Jeffrey Mann's. This was in Swan Keys. This was a variance from the side yard setback requirement. Mm-hmm. I believe, if I recall, you guys couldn't agree.
Yes.
We agreed not to.
Couldn't agree.
We agreed not to,
motion
not to agree.
Would die, and then you motion again. And
you would die.
Yeah.
Yep. Three times, so.
All right.
On air conditioning units.
And on an air conditioning unit when it was over.
Yeah, I believe Bud wanted to have it moved.
Yeah.
And everyone else didn't.
I kind of.
Nobody else did. And then they didn't.
Take a look at that now. You know, we're going to give 5 foot on the proposed residence anyway.
Right.
But I cannot see in saying that he can, yes, I can bring this shed into compliance. Mm-hmm. All he has to do is put it, just disconnect it from there. And a statement Mr. Workman made was, that got me thinking, was, is there a firewall there? And these sheds are normally used for storage of
He's going to have to meet code. I mean, it would be no different than somebody with an attached garage.
Okay.
All right.
So I believe that he can meet the setbacks by disconnecting the shed, like everything else in that area.
The shed or the HVAC system?
No, the shed.
Shed, okay.
I think he also, wasn't this the one where they talked about they had so many issues with the storm because they were disconnected and moving, and this would I'm just thinking.
This one that
he brought that up, but it's going to be the same.
I thought the shed was fine. I thought we couldn't agree on the air conditioning unit.
It was the air conditioning unit.
It was the air conditioning unit you couldn't agree on.
Yeah.
The motion that was not seconded.
Right.
Was by Mr. Rickard as that the would approve the shed, the porch, and the house. So the variance is related to that, but deny as to the HVAC unit. And pardon me if I put words in your mouth, Mr. Rickard, but I believe that the reason being was that the applicant or the applicant's representative had noted that it was possible to place the HVAC system elsewhere on the property.
Possible too.
Correct.
Possible. Yeah, that's right.
He said he could move it up to the front. I asked him if he could move it into the front, and he said that
possible.
It's all coming back there. That he said I have 19.6 feet.
Look out! It's coming back.
Oh, no, it's not coming back, please, no.
But 19.6 tenths of a foot, I mean, you can't get an air conditioning in a car in there. I mean, come on. That's my thought anyway, and I'd like to see him disconnect that shed also. There are sheds down there that it'll start putting, you'll be giving variances to all these other homes that come in.
We already have.
I know.
Oh, my gosh.
Well, I think
not to want to connect it. You've given variances to, I don't believe I've been on board when you just given variances to connected sheds.
I think that there's a couple of points here. One is we need to view all applications on their face, not what has been necessarily done in the past. And one of the reasons that that's important is this past year, the Supreme Court came out with that Verlaisen decision, which we've mentioned on a few occasions, but that one makes it very clear that all five of those elements for a variance request must be met. So it makes it a little more challenging for the board to just grant a variance. I think that an applicant needs to meet all of those standards in order to have one granted. The previous standard that was in effect was based on the Quick Check case, which was an older case that allowed for a little more flexibility. Our code is different than the codes in Kent and Newcastle County, which was why that there is a bit of a difference there. So if the idea is, well, we've done this in the in the past, that may be true, but the rule was also a little different in the past as well that would make it easier to have granted some of those. So I don't want to tell you how to vote one way or another, but I don't want you to feel burdened by previous decisions in making your decision on this case or any other case that comes before the board. And, you know, I've talked to Everett Moore about this as well. I think that, you know, we need to look at these cases on their individual face.
That's what I'm trying to
and
do.
And if you have, you know, if you have an applicant that says, I can move it, and it's not a problem, then I think that can create some problems if there was ever an appeal going to Supreme Court, Superior Court. I would suspect that that would be one that, looking in the strict interpretation of how the court is viewing our code now, which is a different viewpoint than we've had in the past, I think it makes it, when someone has admitted that they don't meet a certain standard for one of the things, I think it makes it tough to grant the application.
Mr. Sharp, that's the reason I asked the question. I go through that each time they're up there. I say, you need a variance here, but can you correct that variance? Can you move that and come in compliance? Yes, I can, but I'd rather not.
It's a definition of rather not.
Yeah, I'd rather not. That doesn't fire off the standards to me. That just because I don't want it there, you know, just because, you know, that doesn't meet the standards. And also, if you had, like, the shed here, again, I repeat myself that if you disconnected it, can you disconnect it? Yes, but I'd rather not. Now, all the other sheds that are floating down the street or so forth, it has nothing to do with this here, as far as I'm concerned.
Well, I think, as to your question about the shed, some of that goes to the definition of what a shed is in the code. And I haven't looked at this issue, but I am curious about it, and Susan may know the answer better than I. Does a shed have to be detached for it to be classified as a shed?
No.
Okay. It was one of the things I was thinking about at our last meeting, and I just didn't get a chance to look at it.
So, like, a shower doesn't have to be connected to be a shower, or it could stand alone shower.
I mean, there's definitions, accessory structures.
Is based
that
on purpose.
It's detached, but it doesn't have to be not a shed because it's not right. Attached.
Okay.
The accessory structure.
That's my opinion, but yours is more important.
look more
into that.
It's, you know, we're dealing with the code here, but the applicant made a very good case in why he likes the sheds attached, I think.
Not so it won't float away?
Not only that, but, I mean, fire, you know compared to...
sorry, a little punchy.
Oh, I know this has... I just thought maybe...
Jamie, our ordinance doesn't reference a shed.
The news about
it's just
how
accessory
close those
structures
were down there in
are considered. Where accessory building is a detached, unattached.
Now,
that's not much room.
Here and say,
it says unattached.
But it doesn't say, an accessory building is a detached, unattached.
Okay.
It's not attached to the main
So there's
dwelling.
No definition,
but there's
of
no
shed.
Definition for a shed.
It's just an accessory building.
Right, it's either detached or attached.
Here is the definition that
for accessory
that
use.
I have for an accessory building.
Mm-hmm.
Here
we go. Sorry, I need to keep reading.
A detached/unattached subordinate building, the use of which is incidental to or customarily found in connection with, and except as otherwise provided in this chapter, is located on the same lot as the main building or principal use of the land. Examples of an accessory building may include a shed, a storage building, garage, gazebo, or similar structure.
Okay.
So using that definition, it has to be detached or unattached.
Otherwise.
And the question that comes to my mind, and Ms. Isaacs, maybe you can answer this better than I. If it's for it to be an accessory building under this definition, it has to be off of that building. If it's attached to that building, then it's part of that building.
Correct.
And that was kind of one of the things that when I looked at that application that struck me as a little odd is that if someone were to look at that building, they would say, that's the house. And they're not going to, I'm afraid that they would not refer to that as an accessory building, but rather an affixion to that existing house and part of it there too, which was, I think, one of the reasons why the code here reads detached / unattached, in that it is a structure that could remain if the house were removed, or could be eliminated without the elimination of the house.
Right.
And that's been one of the things that, at least in my head, has been bouncing around here this evening as we've discussed it. I'd be glad to look into that more if the board felt they wanted more time, but...
That may not be a bad idea. Well, you brought up the... As soon as you started reading it, you remember, don't you? I remember that portion. That's exactly the way it reads, and I've gone over that many, many times, and just didn't dawn on me, like you said, to give that explanation.
Susan, question. I don't know if you answered it right. If it's a detached shed, is it got to be fire rated too? So an attached shed is better than a detached. The closest that neighborhood is, it's fire rated. So it's a safer shed.
Didn't you say that?
It's a safer shed.
It
than a detached shed, and you don't have to be one 5 inches. How far away?
5 foot.
5 foot away. So you're safer with a attached shed being fire rated. If it's attached shed at house, it's going to be fire rated in. So you got a safer shed than you do a detached shed.
That may be the case. Mm-hmm. But we have to remember that we're not making a determination as to what shed is safer. We're here to look at what the zoning code is and whether the applicant has met the strict law of that zoning code.
Well,
if there's an issue that we see with whether or not an attached shed is more desirable than a detached shed, then that may be a question for county council to look at, as to whether or not there needs to be an ordinance change.
But Jimmy, but as he brought that case to us, he's saying this is a attached shed that is fire rated and it's safer than a detached shed. Well, he's bringing the case to us then, telling us which way is safer.
Well,
right?
And the question that I have, and again, this is why I was saying I'd be glad to look into this more if the board wishes, is whether or not what he is proposing is actually a shed, or whether or not it's an extension of the structure. Because if it's an extension of the structure, then
that's a different story.
I would still say it's a shed because there's no entrance from the house. You still have to
go outside.
It's just attached.
But what we're defining as an accessory building is that it's detached or unattached.
An accessory building is detached, not attached.
Detached or unattached.
Right.
As in shed.
So it has to be off of that.
It's not, otherwise.
But I see what you're saying, but.
This is an integral part of
it. If they want their shed
attached,
they can have it attached. It's just setbacks are different. It doesn't get the 5 foot, it gets the 10 foot. But I see what you're saying.
Yeah,
I don't know if we want to.
No, you know, whatever we decide, whatever's going to happen here is going to be what it's coming. This is new coming up the pipe where they're attaching their shed.
I think we need to let Jamie research that a little bit.
There's been many sheds in the county attached to their houses, so.
And then they're going to continue, and then we're going to say, are we going to approve them all as a shed?
I'm like Susan. I mean,
it's still a shed.
You're not getting into it from outside, getting in. All it is a building coming out, fireproof.
And Mr. Workman, what I'm seeing is the code is not clear on that distinguishing characteristic.
Well, how did
and that's where I think perhaps more research would be helpful, because if if the code is not clear on it, then we have to look at it as it's part of the same structure. If the code can be, if there is something in the code that clarifies that, says if you have a shed that is attached to the structure, and I don't know how it would be worded, but outdoor access only, that's fire rated through, you know, from the, but it's affixed to the house, then a setback from that portion of the structure would be less than, you know, in this case 10 feet, could be 5 feet, then that would be helpful. But I don't know that that exists. I think what we may have is a situation where there's a bit of an ambiguity here as to whether or not a shed that is attached is actually a shed, or it's just a continuation of the structure.
Yeah, it's a it's a shed. A shed can be attached or detached.
Right.
And just like a shower can be attached or detached. You know, whatever your the purpose of it, it doesn't change the fact that it's not an accessory structure unless it's detached.
Correct.
And then it has different setback requirements.
Mm-hmm.
And his application is for an accessory structure, correct? I don't have it in front of me, so.
No, it's,
request.
For an attached shed.
For
an attached shed. Because he's using it as a shed, but it's attached.
So he's considering it part of the structure.
Mm-hmm.
He's not putting poles next to the structure.
No.
And taking the siding up to the structure, but not attaching it. It's integral to the building itself. It has attached.
Yeah, the whole thing attached.
They want it attached.
Yes. Then it's part of the house. It's not an accessory structure.
So the variance is going to represent the least modification possible of the regulation in use. Is that what you're saying?
It'd have to
be. That the variance is requested.
It'd have to be.
Least modification possible of the regulation in use. The regulation calls them to be as a shed 5 feet from the line, as a structure attached to the shed.
This is part of the structure.
It's got to be 10 feet.
So he's got to be 10.
Be 10 feet.
Now he could detach it.
Be fine.
It could be like I say. He could be using that exterior wall of the building as protection for that structure, and not put a wall covering mm-hmm. on that side of it, and it'd still be detached.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think sometimes what I'm trying to do is to make sure that people adhere to the ordinance as much as possible when it's possible, and if they can do that when it's possible. My job is to make sure the people that need relief get relief, if I possibly can. And some of these, when they say, I can move that, or yeah, I'll move that, and put it in compliance, it seems to me that the only way we can possibly do that is take each individual case the way it is. But then you're going to say, well, geez, it's a shed. It's attached, so it's part of the dwelling.
It could be there and appear attached and actually not be attached.
Right. That's true, yeah.
And therefore he could put it right there and it wouldn't need a variance.
But I think the reason for that attached shed was because of floodwaters, if I recall, and also to help prevent future water damage, because it was going to be raised up more attached to the house.
I feel that
the exterior, or you know, was from outside, not interior. I don't know.
We've done it. That's what I don't know if we're causing more problems or not.
Yeah.
I mean, this is how Lawrence set it up. I mean, Susan. It's been attached or detached. Now we're looking to
dissect it.
Yeah. I mean, I think we're going a little bit too deep. I'm not getting smart, Chamberlain. I think we're going a little bit too deep on it. That's my personal opinion.
Perhaps we are. I'm just looking at it from the standpoint of it's attached to the existing structure, so it's almost an extension of that structure. I guess perhaps an analogy would be you have detached garages and attached garages.
Yeah.
An attached garage is part of that structure when we look at it.
Yeah, my question is, what are we attaching to this house anyway? Three sides, two sides, and one side, yeah. Two ends. We don't have a building, right? If you don't get to it, we don't have a shed. We don't have a building. We don't have nothing but two ends on the side going to go to this. Could it be extension of a laundry room, extension of a bedroom, extension of a, for a fireplace? Suppose I want to put a fireplace in. What have we really got here, gentlemen?
Well, they're also going to, I think there was testimony, right? They were going to put the water heater there.
Well, yeah, he said that. Forth. But he still could be, at the same time, you could use that for...
You know what? The question is, he says he's going to attach it, so the question is, if it was a garage, will we allow it?
That same thing. We would be.
Would we allow the variance?
If it was a garage. Huh?
Would we allow the variance? That's what John said.
Correct.
Yeah. So would be.
He says he's going to attach it. And obviously it would be attached if the water heaters for the home is going to be in there. That attaches it.
So why do we have any variances? Why do we have any setbacks in Swan Keys? If we're going to give them
so people can build up, not out.
That's not what they're asking here.
I still haven't figured why they don't put the house on pilings.
Yeah.
Park everything underneath the house.
That's Cape Winslet.
And then, yeah.
Yeah, I agree with you.
They're allowed 45 feet.
Yeah.
They're allowed 45 feet.
Yeah, he was just the opposite.
42 feet.
Well, gentlemen, what are we doing?
That'd be enough to put a two-story home and have parking and shed space under the house.
Sure. Give Jamie time to look at it.
So, I've never have seen the need for the variances. Truly. I mean, in the past, we've approved them because we've approved them.
This way it's affordable and...
Yeah, and then the problem comes where the guy puts a single-story dwelling on a lot, and the guy next door wants to put it on pilings and raise it up to 42 feet, and then this guy comes in opposition because he's blocking his son.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
That's true.
I was talking.
That's been that way a lot of times.
Ridiculous. The county clearly, at least in my mind, allowed for them to go. It was a mobile home park. The county allowed for them to build up, not out.
Keep the mobile home setbacks, take away the 20-foot separation, and give them the height of 22
right.
feet.
And in my opinion, the intent was to build up.
Now we're right back where we were.
And then they don't have to have that 35% either. They're trying to get rid
right.
of that.
Yeah.
But like I say, our
so
we're trying. I think we are trying.
Oh, we are, definitely. But
to solve this problem where, again, I quote, we're 10 pounds or trying to be potatoes put into a 5-pound bag. We're trying to, when someone tells me that I want to move my house closer to the road. I can't move, can you do that? I mean, could you move it back? And then you say to me, yeah, I can move it back, but I don't want to.
To me, it's pretty simple. Is it created by the applicant?
Certainly.
Then yeah. Meet the standards.
That's any case, then.
Huh?
That's any case.
That would be any case.
Well, can't be here, then.
Some cases are created by
some
former
are,
owners.
Well, too many of them.
Some are created by, you know, type of, by the uniqueness itself.
That's
yeah.
Right.
Some, you know, I mean, there are exceptions, but the majority, just like, you know, what we discussed before this, it's created by the applicant.
And Mr. Workman, that's where that Verlacing case really hit hard, was the creation by the applicant. Our code is stricter than Newcastle and Kent County in that regard. So if an applicant wants to come to us, they've got to show that they didn't create it or at least be pretty creative in their way to argue around it, to present it. And that's the main difference on that case, is it's a creation issue. So if you feel that it's been created by them, then I think that it makes it more difficult to approve.
Okay.
I think tonight that...
I'm sorry?
I think it's a problem, you know.
Is that your motion?
That's your motion?
I think.
No.
No, you said you think to deny it. Is that your motion?
Is that your motion?
No. My motion would be to approve the house because I can understand that you can't get a 24-foot house. I mean, 28-foot house.
You can build a 20-foot house.
20-foot.
So you motion approve the house.
No, let me back up on that.
You want to approve the house, but move the AC units and make the shed detached.
Deny the shed, deny the AC.
What's that?
You want to deny the shed and deny the AC.
My original motion, yes.
Deny the AC and shed.
Right.
That wasn't your original motion.
My original motion was to move the AC
unit
and to detach the shed and approve the house.
No.
No, that wasn't your original.
It wasn't?
No.
You approved everything but the AC.
You wanted the AC moved.
That was the only thing.
Didn't I say that?
Yes, it's right here. Well.
In the minutes.
Technically. They have not been approved, but yes.
And that's what I'm saying. I'm saying that right now.
You want to deny the shed and deny the air conditions. That's your motion now.
Mr. Ricker, you moved to, they have not been approved yet, the minutes. But you did move to deny the 8-foot variance for the proposed air conditioning units, and that was it.
You approved everything else.
You approved everything else, but you wanted the AC units to be moved to the front.
That was the only thing the last time.
Mm-hmm.
So this time you want to move the air condition and move the shed and improve everything else.
I don't think the applicant has met the standards. How's that, Glad?
Man.
Motion to table the case until the next regular meeting.
Good.
And motion by Mr. Mills and second by Mr. Hudson that we table case number 11086 until our next regular meeting on 12/10. All those in favor of the motion, Mr. Hudson.
Aye.
Mr. Workman.
Aye.
Mr. Rickers.
Aye.
Mr. Mills.
Aye.
Mr. Cavalier. Aye. So
now, who first and seconded that? John Mills and?
I made the motion.
Mr. Hudson.
And John.
I voted 5-0. Case number 11086 is tabled to our next regular meeting. Yes, sir. Now,
can I ask the board if they look up the definition that we're trying to establish here?
You know what? I would suggest, does any of the variants think in question, do they meet the standard for granting any of the variances?
Who are you talking to? Me?
Yeah, you.
No, everybody. I mean,
yeah.
Everybody. You know, the question that we should think about between now and the next meeting is: do they meet any of this? Do they meet the standards for granting any variance they've requested?
I agree
with that.
And if so, which ones and why?
Right.
And at the next meeting, we should have the minutes from the last meeting to really look at and invest, you know, look at that testimony
okay.
a little more closely.
That's a good idea.
Yeah, you know, we do have it on the audio thing if you all wanted to go back and listen to that.
Okay. Next case.